You're listening to Lost and Sound, a podcast exploring music, identity, and the future. My name's Paul Hanford. I've always believed that one of the best ways we come together is through music. And through this series, I'm looking at how music can and is bringing us together now and in the future. From my base in Berlin, we'll be meeting artists from a range of disciplines from all across the world who are drawing on music right now, some already exploring new ways of doing this. In the first episode of 2021, I spoke with Joseph Kamaru, a.k.a. Kamaru. Hey, how are you doing? I hope you're having a really lovely one. I hope you had a really, really good seasonal break. Whether you were working or seeing family or not able to spend time with people you wanted to. I think it was obviously a very strange one for everyone this year. I spent the second year in a row not getting back to see my family. Last year was my choice. I kind of fancied a bleak Bowie style winter Berlin adventure, and so I stayed here on my own and I wrote. And this year I didn't have that choice. It was just obviously being here, and so kind of got through with a few walks with friends in my little bubble and some nice food and of course music. One of the artists that really captured and elevated the last little period of time for me is Joseph Kamaru. One of 2020's true breakout stars, Joseph Kamaru, or simply Kamaru, is an artist exploring the space around him through field recordings and in the process helping to redefine ambient music. Last year, he released two LPs, a cassette, and numerous tracks, like what you can hear right now, the track Drawing Water. His music has been all over the end-of-the-year lists in Pitchfork, Guardian, Mixmag, Resident Advisor, you name it. And to me, he creates beautiful sound worlds. He also moved last year from Nairobi to Berlin, and we caught up on Zoom.
Perfect.
Excellent.
Yeah, no, it's runny. Yeah, cool.
Excellent. Thank you so much for speaking with me today. Really been really like checking out your music and really been loving it. And I think one of the things that I think I feel personally is in lockdown, the idea of space and what we hear around us feels quite different to me than like in non-lockdown times. And I've read a few things recently where people have been talking about how, for lack of a better word, ambient sound is kind of finding a different place with people. Do you feel that your relationship with your music has changed in lockdown?
I don't think so, because like I became more aware of like the surrounding before lockdown, and I was trying to like tell people like there's so much in our environment that we're missing out on. And for me, I tried to implement this in my music in a way that I can be able to like get these sounds be hard, but like also I feel that during lockdown people became more aware of their surrounding and appreciating the sounds more. Yeah,
and I think maybe in electronic music as well, because we can't go out dancing, do you think that there's an element that we can listen to kind of electronic sound maybe more without a beat?
Yes, I think some. I felt maybe, I know like some producers felt like it wasn't right to like put out dance music and we're like stuck in our homes or and the more like music with which is like non-danceable or like music for listening to became more I'm sure like during lockdown people reached out to like more this kind of ambient or like calmer music to just have them through the times of last year.
I think so too. I think there's a lot more it's kind of weird, isn't it, because I think like sort of the sort of ambient music sort of first kind of coined or kind of like sort of was first seen as being this kind of like background music, you know, like Brian Eno did all of that stuff about it being like music for airports and felt very kind of emotionally free from emotion, you know. But I think what I get from your music that there is that there's much more of a sense that this is kind of actually very, very warm, emotional music. Do you, I'm really interested to know where the emotion comes from with how you find sound.
Yeah, I feel more like inclined to expressing myself, like my emotions of how I feel, or also like the instruments I'm using, or even field recordings when I'm outside and deciding to like record a particular sound. It's more of like my connection with the place and time and how I'm feeling about it. And now implementing this in my work, it's just trying to sort of replicate or like being in the space or like sense where the outside, like in the field, and also like being here in a confined space and trying to connect this two together, like because there's so much expression outside that is like appearing and disappearing, like things just happen, like it's not controlled, it's not like sounds from outside are not like fully controlled or like it's not like in a particular timeline. And also this is what I'm trying to implement also while making music, where I'm not thinking about like any specific time or grids, and it's more of like being as natural and organic as possible.
I used to love I remember like I used to work at night and I remember walking home and I didn't have anything to listen to for a long time, so I just kind of imagined that all of the sounds around me were just like a pre-made composition. And there's things like, you know, you can't factor for, like you're saying, like a dog barking or a train and stuff like that. Do you look for happy accidents when you're using, when you're finding field recordings?
I used to like be more like curious of like how a place would sound. And when I started field recording, I was really into like recording every sound that I hear is interesting and hoping something interesting can happen. But lately it's been more intentional that I have to like visit the place before going for like an actual field recording, and just going to the place and recording the space with my ears without any recorder. And if something like happens, and maybe next time I'm there, I'm hoping like something like that can happen. Yeah.
Do you have a shopping list of places that you want to visit?
At the moment, I'm actually in Berlin, and I haven't like sort of because I think moving here from Nairobi, I'm still settling my ear and sort of understanding my environment, because it's like very different from Nairobi, and trying to like readjust my ear that like I'm in new space and new sounds, very different, and how maybe this is going to like reflect on also like my work. Yeah, I'm just like curious to know how this will be. I haven't sort of planned or checked like places to record here yet. Yeah.
So when I first moved here, because I do quite a bit of field recording in my podcasts as well, I loved walking around the city and just, I think things maybe if you've lived here for many years, you just don't even notice. For me, just that sounded really fascinating, like the sound of the U-Bahn as thing, and you know, things like that. Like, is there any are there any sounds that you really you're really digging at the moment from
the bird? The U-Bahn door sounds are interesting, but like when I was here last year, that that particular sound was fascinating, and I also know so many techno DJs have used this sound in their tracks, and I've been recording some sounds with my phone while on commute, and also just like the natural ambience of the place, because at the moment it's evident that there's not so much going on because it's winter and everything. And also for me, it's strange that I can't hear bad sounds in the morning compared to like home. But like, it's just sort of understanding like my new environment and what stands out. And I haven't made any plans to be in a trip yet.
I guess so. If you're kind of viewing it more as like an organic process.
Just like being in a field or like walking somewhere, and I notice like some the place can have interesting sounds. I just like pin it on my map, and hopefully next time I can visit the place and record some sounds from there.
You're living permanently in Berlin now, or in-
Yeah, I just moved here 3 months ago, actually, in November. And I moved here for my master's in sound studies at UDK. And I'll be here for probably three years. So,
Cool. Well, welcome. And I'm not that I've been here much longer. But was Berlin a place that you'd kind of wanted to come to anyway, like sort of maybe through music or something?
I visited the place last year, like in 2019, for a festival, and I just had a connection with the place when it was like the whole experience being here, and I wanted like to visit again, but like not move completely. And my master's was I came across the program like at sound studies, and it's something that I really wanted to do. And it just happened that I ended up being here, and also grateful just to be here. Although it's sad that I can't experience the life, the full life Berlin.
Did you get to see any of like the club experience when you were here last time?
When I was here last time, I was here for CTM. And it was just amazing. And also like eye-opening.
And kind of going back to your childhood, how did music come into your life?
As far as I can remember, I grew up listening to like lots of like different styles of music and genres, and singing with my brother, I guess, because my grandfather was a musician. But back then, I knew he was very famous, like quite famous in Kenya, but like I didn't know that he was like big. But we grew up listening to his music, and this just like transcended. Like when I was in like my preschool, there's like music, but it was more of a fun thing, not like very serious. And also the fact that like within the cultures, like in Kenya or like in Africa, it's very hard to like find people who are like fully doing music like as an important thing or important subject. But for me, when I joined high school, I was singing because like my school didn't have any instruments, so the only instrument I could do is only voice, and I had to train my voice. I was in choir, and I was good at it. Like I was so good like at music and all this music theory and stuff. Then finishing my high school, I wasn't sure if I really wanted like if my parents will allow me to like pursue music as like my full-time thing, like for university, for my undergraduate. And yeah, I remember having this conversation with them and they were like, yeah, just do whatever you want. And since then they've been super supportive. I picked up the guitar around this same time, like in university, playing classical guitar. I dropped my voice, and along the way in my uni is when I realized you can make music on your laptop. So I borrowed my dad's laptop, and yeah, I just ended up owning it. And since then, I've just been discovering lots of musics and just experimenting and doing different stuff with sound. Yeah, with sound and like being cautious of like my environment. It was like a change or like a shift in location, because I grew up like in a very urban, like near the city center, and it was super noisy and so much is happening that you can't pay attention to one specific thing. Then moving a bit outside the city where my parents found a place, it was like super silent, and the silence was like so deafening, and you can hear like bad sounds and everything. And realizing that there's so much sound, and I became more aware of like some stuff I had like around me. This is even before having like a recorder. Then when I bought like this Zoom, because I needed like an audio interface, I bought this Zoom because I thought like it'd be interesting to have an interface and also something to record, like a mic. Then being out, I'm like listening and realizing how loud our environment is was just like, wow. So I became super excited about like the outside more, and just listening and recording. And this has evolved to more like in my art practice, where I'm now cautious of like there's so much to learn from the sounds you collect, and yeah, not like very, doesn't have to be like very like musical or like just recording and putting it like in a musical piece. I'm more trying to contextualize of like what's happening in the outside and having like something to investigate with like the sounds that I'm collecting. Yeah.
I really love the way you describe about you didn't realize how many sounds there were until you had your Zoom. Like I've had very similar experiences like that whenever I kind of just, it's almost like whenever you kind of have the headphones on and you turn the Zoom on, you just suddenly become hyper aware of even just where you're sat, don't you?
It's amazing how you can, you're using like the microphone as new pairs of your ears, but like you can control them, which is also amazing and interesting how technology is helping. And it's now easy to record and listen to like very micro organic sounds and just amplify them.
I'd been listening to Kamaru's music for a while, but what I didn't know, not long before we spoke, is anything about Joseph's grandfather, Kenyan cultural icon, musician, and activist, also called Joseph Kamaru.
You kind of mentioned about the influence of your grandfather as well. Can you tell me a little bit more about who he was?
He was an activist, musician, and also like person of the people, like in Kenya, but like his music really transversed to like the masses. not in like particular in my community, which is Kikuyu, but it resonated and translated so much with the entire like communities within the country. And being a musician like during colonial times, for him, he was from understanding the music right now and listening to the music and understanding and also working on this project of his musical archive, I understand that he wanted to like share what is happening or like just giving people like courage at some point, like during this tough times, and also just telling stories of like the whole sort of transition from Kenya being an independent country, then later also just life, more of like life. And for example, this like social and political life background of how people and even like politicians or like just how people are living together and sharing this in a musical context, which really connected with so many people. Yeah. And I think that's why, and that's how his music became so popular in Kenya. And he made this connection with like the people in power, like the presidents. And I think he had so much stories to say from his experience, like being a musician so young and experiencing like his life at a very tough time. Yeah.
So he was always he wasn't afraid to say what he thought about situations.
Yeah, and that's one thing I really sort of borrow a lot from him, just being honest and like trying being authentic with the work I do. And yeah, he didn't care like much about what he had to say, because some songs he wrote almost made him like assassinated, or like he had to hide himself for like some months because the government was looking for him. One song was all like almost like did get the teacher union in Kenya to call for a strike because of this particular song. It's called Ndari ya Mwarimos, and it's talking about what's happening like in schools then, how men were taking advantage of like women and girls in schools. And this song was very transparent, ended up causing a lot of sort of chaos like in the parliament because teachers wanted the song to be banned.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that is such an amazing example of people using music to kind of create change or kind of demand change, isn't it?
Yeah, there's more. It's because the music is vocal and people would understand like the words or like the text. And also if it's translated, you can see that, there's a need for change. Yeah. But good thing the song got like an honorary like later in the year. Yeah.
Wow. That must be such a kind of sort of a feeling of, do you feel like kind of a strong connection with what you're doing to what he was doing?
Yeah, I think later, like for example, like later half of last year is when I've been thinking much of in some projects, maybe installation of physical projects that I'm developing at the moment. They fit like a particular context where I'm trying to like enhance something or like make like an awareness to the people that there's something going on, which which somebody should be aware of or like can understand it, but like also experience this in a form of art. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. I think sound is such a way that so many different things can kind of reach people without them even really understanding why they're feeling what they're feeling as well. And I think that's one of the amazing things about what I love about your music as well, is that I don't feel I have to say, this is what this means or this is what that means. Mm. I feel like I'm taking an impression of just a time and a place, I feel.
Yeah, yeah. And also trying to not force people, but like make people to listen more. Mm. Like, yeah, just like, for example, my last record, when I listen to it, also for me personally, again, I hear new nuances or like sounds, mm. which is also interesting for me. Yeah.
So is that Peel?
So yeah, that's Peel.
Amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's definitely interesting to sort of be able to listen to your own work again and kind of go, oh, wow, I was capturing that on that day or on that time and stuff.
Yeah. I think for like musical compositions, it can be not hard, but like you think much a lot of what was happening during the time of like the creation process, mm. and trying to remember what you did there, because it sounds like amazing and you try and like replicate it or do something similar, but you can't. But like for field recordings, it's very, personally, I find it very easy to remember, or if I have this folder of like field recordings, and when I listen back to them, even if they're not unnamed, even if they're not like named, I can have this sense of recall of the place and like where I was. Mm. Even if it's like 4 years ago, I can still remember that there's this particular recordings from this place, and I remember what context, like what is happening before and after.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is super interesting with like field recordings in particular. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a library of memories in a way, I guess.
Yeah. And very ephemeral.
Yeah. 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 It's funny, isn't it? Like, I think like, isn't it like, what we smell is the first sense that we pick up. And then I think it's hearing after that. I'm not really sure which way around it is.
Yeah. Also like, yeah, scent. Yeah. No, I don't want to like deep dive into scent because I'm doing a school project based on like sound and scents.
Yeah.
And it's interesting how, yeah, we're not like also aware of like our smell or like scents and yeah. Mm. And like the relationship we make with, for example, our clothes or like our environment with the smells around us. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And what you were sort of saying about like being able to look at the file without a name and kind of know kind of like where you were and stuff like that. There's a sort of a sense with sound and collecting sound of synesthesia as well, isn't there? Of like sound being like a shape or sound being a color as well. Do you have a sense of that with when you hear different sounds?
Not particular, yeah, but like I think only sounds from outside is how I can relate to them. Also, for example, being here and understanding like the sound environment and sound like background in Kenya, I can sort of relate to like this train, like the train sounds. I can connect them with like our Matatu culture, is like the public transport like in Kenya, and it's very different. And trying and seeing like playing these two field recordings together and sort of see or like feel or just, yeah, like create new spaces with like different environments. But like I do connect sounds with like places, sometimes with color, but mostly during like performances where I can sort of feel or like, Yeah, the sound feels like red or something. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I think sometimes, to me, like vinyl records sound like fireplaces to me. And like that last year was the end of the year. Like, you got asked by lots of magazines to kind of like pick, you know, your opinions of like music, and you know, your albums came out really high in so many people's end of the year things. Did that feel? Does it? How do you feel when you get compliments? Does it feel strange?
I think it doesn't feel strange because like for Peel, it's been. I think I'm still processing the whole of last year until now because for me that wasn't at all like expected. Like the record would like reach so many people like that, but yeah, I got so many compliments or like just people writing to me how Peel has taken through them like very difficult times, and I'm so like grateful to hear like happy to hear like the music is helping people out through like weird and strange times, and yeah. But yeah, it became like I started getting so many of them, like so many compliments, and yeah, I just don't know how to feel about it and like process it because it's like so much overwhelming, like in a good way, and trying to understand what's happening and playing the record again and again and seeing how. Like how it became like so like it reached so many people, like that's the whole thing that I didn't expect. Also the fact that the record wasn't like I hadn't planned like to make Peel at the beginning of the year or something. It just happened that I traveled back from Montreal and I lost my job. Guitar job. I was playing guitar, like there's no more guitar gigs in Nairobi, and also teaching sound in a university, and yeah, Corona just happened and I was now crossing fingers for my masters to work out and see how my musical like life is going to be, and being like confined since March, yeah, since like March 16th all the way till August or something, just being around home and not like moving much. One day, yeah, that's how Peel came to be, and many thanks to Peter who like picked it up for Mego, and
yeah
he got to like reach out to people. Yeah,
thanks for sharing that. That's a really lovely story out of the struggle, how that, and it's something I think everyone can relate to as well, because you know, like that album was made for a struggle, but we all had our own different versions of going through something that was happening to everyone across the world, isn't it?
Yeah, because for me it's also, it gives me like a sense of peace and calm in a state where I don't know what's gonna happen. Yeah.
That's actually how I listen to it as well, and that and some other artists' music as well, is that it's like, in a way, I hope you don't mind the extra compliment here, but I find it a little bit like it's not judging, you know. I think because the way the sound is, and because there's no lyrics and there's no strict beats, you know, like it's like a church that you can, it just lets you sit in it really and stuff like that, and I think like that's something for me at this, because time when you know can't leave the house that often is quite a welcoming situation to listen
to.
Is there anything that you would like to add?
Maybe hoping this year I can get to play music outside for people and just like being with people again.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I'm looking forward to, I'm just fingers crossed, basically.
Fingers crossed.
Totally.
Yeah.
And then hopefully you'll get to experience like a summer in Berlin where there's no restrictions and how amazing that is. I think I'm definitely going to do a lot more kind of clubbing than I did beforehand. I felt like I felt like that was something I meant to do before I moved here. Then I got here and I did a couple of times. Now I'm like, no, I'm never going to take that for granted ever again.
Yeah. I feel this like when everything is sort of back to like the new normal. Yeah. And the music is like, yeah, back, like live. Yeah, people are going to like do it like fully and yeah, giving it all. Yeah,
totally. No yeah. Staying in with Netflix. It's going to be see a band, see some performance every night.
Yeah.
And that was Joseph Kamaru talking on January the 8th to me for Lost and Sound. I'd like to thank Joseph so, so much for sharing his time and his thoughts with me. I really, really, really enjoyed talking with him. And his albums, his works are available in the usual sources. And I love talking with him about the different resonances and the different kinds of influences and things that go into making ambient music. I think traditionally, ambient music has been seen as being something that is maybe a little bit devoid of emotion, a little bit kind of stylized and deliberately for backing music. And obviously, I love Brian Eno's albums that were ambient, and they were very, I felt, dealing specifically with music that was supposed to be something that you don't have to engage with, that can be like furniture, and that's brilliant and I love them, but I feel like they're also part of something from another time now, something from slightly pre-millennial times where there was a lot of optimism about the future. And something like Music for Airports could represent like a shiny, new, lovely bit of architecture. Whereas now we're living in different times now. And I really love the way with Joseph's work, there is this kind of emotional element to it. There is this kind of element of memory and playing with that. And I think it's really, really beautiful. And I think listening to his work, it kind of allows a space that I personally feel like I can kind of sit in and listen to and find and lose myself at once, if you know what I mean. Anyway, it is really cold. I've sort of stood by the river during this voiceover bit for a little while now. I was had a cup of coffee. I left my gloves in the flat and my fingers are going a little bit numb, so I'm going to get in and get warm, and I'll speak to you really soon. Have a lovely one. Lost and Sound is written and produced by me, Paul Hanford. Title music by ESO. And you also heard the track Drawing Water by Kamaru. A big thanks to Kieran Yates in the UK for mastering the levels. And this episode is being hosted by Bear Radio. And you can check out other English language podcasts from Berlin by going on bearradio.org. And if you enjoyed listening, please hit subscribe and leave a comment. It really does help. And you can also help the production costs of making Lost and Sound, if you wish, by buying me a digital coffee at coffee.com. There's a link to all of this in the socials. Take care and speak to you soon.